This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1842. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, short and medium wave. On this edition, recorded September 7th, Australia, Bougainville, China, Ethiopia, France, Iceland, India, international waters, Iran, Japan, Korea North, Liberia, Marshall Islands, Mexico, Morocco, Netherlands, New Zealand, Nigeria, Peru, Russia, USA, Vietnam, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. We mentioned last week that the three Northern Territory shortwave frequencies from Australia were off the air since August 30th without explanation. Well, it's a week later, and the three are still off the air as of September 7th, and still without any official explanation. That's 2485, 2325, and 4835 kilohertz. This reminds us a lot of what happened with Radio Australia on higher frequencies during August, when all those suddenly disappeared for a sesqui week, making us wonder if they would ever come back, but they eventually did. We still don't know what's happening with the Northern Territory service for sure. I will say that there is a large coverage overlap among the three NT stations. They are in different locations, and if they really wanted to keep serving most of the audience, they would not take all three down at the same time for maintenance. So in the meantime, here's some more comments provoked by this situation. Keith Perrone in Taiwan says, Broadcast Australia, which schedules these that way, unlike in the days when Nigel Holmes was at Radio Australia, this responsibility is now handled by the ABC in Sydney, who don't communicate very well with RA in Melbourne. Radio Australia is in the same position that RCI is with the CBC. ABC International, ABC Radio National, ABC Plus Television, ABC News 24 would like to see Radio Australia shut down. Before Canberra begins its summer break, a report and review of Radio Australia will be handed in. Richard Langley forwards an unconfirmed report from Facebook, which says, ABC axes Northern Territory HF service, Alice Springs, Tennant Creek, and Catherine. Due to budget cuts, the transmission provider, Broadcast Australia, has closed down all of these services. Ron Howard says, Sad news indeed, many good memories over the years of listening to them. The only bright spot is that now AIR Gangtok Sikkim is clear for possible reception on 4835. From Glasgow, Scotland, Rob replies, This is a truly shocking move by the ABC. A while back in the late 90s, I drove through the Northern Territory, and from the Queensland border to Tennant Creek, there was no radio reception at all during the daytime, with the exception of the domestic shortwave service. The same is true on the highway from Tennant Creek to Alice Springs. Of course, there are low-powered FM relays in the settlements, but distances between towns in the territory are vast. This service was essential for truck drivers, farmers, and the many tiny Aboriginal settlements that were too small to justify an FM relay. Shame on you, ABC, and another sad day for shortwave. Tim Gaynor in northwest New South Wales says, I may have an answer. Australia has a satellite system for both TV and radio called Avast, A-V-A-S-T, which can be received not only in central Australia, but all over the country, as I also get the system. It carries ABC and CAAMA, among other services. So many potential listeners can dial up the radio services from Darwin and all other areas across Australia, which is why I think they have cut the shortwave service all at once for maintenance. I reply to Tim, very interesting, but is Avast usable for mobile reception driving around the way out back? Tim replies, as far as I know, Avast isn't on mobile devices, but perhaps mobile caravans and motorhomes when stationary. Well, that's shocking that the ABC would close down those services, but then again, it isn't surprising. And I bet it came down to either providing more funding to Radio Australia rather than services in the outback available on internet and Avast satellite service. Geez, makes you wonder how long Radio Australia has left, actually. Radio Australia, in my opinion, is mostly relays of ABC Radio National and local radio, very little locally made substance other than Pacific Beat. How sad. Our federal government keeps cutting the ABC budget, so I think this has been coming for some time now. Von Hard says, on the ABC Alice Springs Facebook page, September 5th, I posted comments regarding missing ABC Alice Springs via shortwave, and the replies of September 6th said, thanks for your comment, Ron. We're sorry you are missing the shortwave service. It would be great if you could let our reception hotline know of the issues you are having, and giving their phone number or website. Ron says, not very helpful. If their shortwave service is actually already closed, it seems the word has not gone out very far. Stephen Luce in Texas says, what's left on 120 meters other than that Brazilian on 2380, if even that? I wonder if there was any consideration of using one of these Shepparton transmitters as a replacement. As I recall, all three NT service transmitters were replaced with new units only a few years ago. This reminds me of CBC dropping its northern shortwave service in 2012 in favor of local FM. Probably not good news for the future of Radio Australia if the ABC is willing to forsake its own domestic shortwave audience, whatever size or lack of it. Jerry Linneman, also in Texas, says, I wonder if Broadcast Australia considers Shepparton as the replacement. I realize that the NT service is supposed to be a regional service, but my impression is that Radio National provided a significant part of the schedule, just as for Radio Australia. That's not a complaint. From English-speaking countries, my favorite programming is usually relays of their domestic services. Most of the Australian outback is well past Shepparton skip zones, and the PNG beam at 355 degrees would cover most of Queensland and the Northern Territory. Frequency selection might not be optimum, but I would expect that reliable service is generally available. Ken Zicke in Michigan says, counter-info on Facebook suggests this is just a temporary maintenance shutdown, not a permanent closure. Who knows for sure what is really going on? Wolfgang Duschel says, let's wait and see. In case the whole Northern Australian Control Unit Satellite Feed Center emergency circuit is maintained, exchanged, and rebuilt, why not a 2 to 3 week break? I wonder why so many Australian DXers have no contact with technical telecom engineers and authorities to clear up this matter. Kai Ludwig says, no one anymore, it seems, with no contacts to people in the know, are left since Radio Australia frequency manager was fired. One counter-info version I saw quoted came from an anonymous source claiming that transmitters would be back on Tuesday, whatever that was supposed to mean. September 6th passed and the transmitters are still off. My suspicion they could at present do the same stunt as shortly before with Radio Australia transmissions, which would not necessarily mean the transmitters will ever be switched on again. Andy Robbins in Michigan says, even if only a temporary outage, the only feedback ABC brass will remotely care about are complaints by listeners in the Northern Territory, or pressure from Parliament, though that seems remote. If Alice Springs and Tennant Creek do return, it will only be a short-term, though welcome, reprieve, and once they go for good, Radio Australia can't be far behind, which is really sad. Once RA and All India Radio take a powder, I will be strongly tempted to move on to other radio hobby interests. Let's hope shutdown fever does not cross the Tasman Sea to Wellington anytime soon. Wolfgang Buschel says, I guess the key to these Radio Australia and Northern Territory questions depends on the final results of seats in the Australian parliamentary election. Well, as to what's left on 120 meters, there might be a revival of another Australian station. Remember Radio Simban. Ian in Australia of the Shortwave Sites Group, via Wolfgang Buschel's BCDX, reminds us that it planned to come back this year on 2368.5 kHz and on up to three X-band outlets, 1692, 1656, and 1611 kHz. Of course, Radio Simban at best was a very challenging DX catch anywhere outside Australia. Another station suddenly missing the first few days of September was NBC Bougainville, Papua New Guinea, from 3325, as noted by Ron Howard. But it came back on September 5th. Also heard on the 6th and 7th sign-off around 1157 UT. With or without Bougainville, also on the same frequency, is RI Palangkaraya, Indonesia. Ron Howard reports, blocking any chance of Tajik Radio 1 reception on 4765 is the Chinese military number station VC01. It's on carrier plus lower sideband from 4765 with numbers in Chinese, heard September 6th at 1336 and September 7th at 1413. Torsten Hallmann in Germany has been monitoring Ethiopian frequencies as of September 1st. He says two of them, 6030 and 6090, had been absent, but they had just returned just before 20 UT. Amhara on 6090 and Oromia on 6030 signed off at 2000 while 6090 was still going past 2010. On September 3rd at 1725, Wolfgang Büschel found them both on the air. 2 hertz below 6090 and exactly 6030. On September 4th, Torsten Hallmann was hearing them around 1735, but 6090 was off before 1752, while 6030 was not being heard on that occasion. So they're rather unreliable. David Koenig of Interval Signals Online says there's a new Erlin website of Radio Falklands. The former Falkland Islands radio service, identified informally on air as Falklands Radio, has made it official with a revamped website at www.radio.co.fk, offering live audio streaming when they're carrying their own programming, and a program guide indicating when that is. He was hearing it online September 2nd with a news bulletin from BFBS at 1000, followed by their own breakfast show at 1010 UT. Radio France International is one of those stations wisely making some S-season frequency changes, even though there is no official S-season anymore, concerning the French broadcast at 05 to 06. 9790 replaces 15300, and the French hour at 12 UT. 21690 replaces 17620, while 17620 replaces 15300. Theo Donnelly from British Columbia reports in New Zealand DX Times he was visiting Iceland in late August, and the big mystery was a medium wave signal, the only one on 666 kHz, playing some nonstop music, no voice announcements or ID. Nigel Pimlet in Alberta replied on RealDX that he had noticed the same thing in late May. Jari Savolainen in Finland received info from RUVN Iceland that they're running test transmissions with 1 kilowatt from a site on the outskirts of Reykjavik, though the music was not from any of their 3 services on FM. So, it looks like we have a country that actually has returned to medium wave. Iceland retained its long wave, and that has been heard by Steve Zimmerman at a quiet rural location near Milwaukee. September 2nd at 0127 to 0130 on 207 kilohertz. I recorded some audio in upper sideband, a conversation in presumed Icelandic. There was only interference on lower sideband from non-directional beacons on 206. And he also pulled in a couple of hours later Morocco on 171 long wave. We've always wondered why All India Radio would put its experimental DRM frequencies 10 kHz away from their corresponding AM transmitters. Well, now they've changed that to 9 kHz, which is the standard separation in the Eastern Hemisphere, says Joe's Jacob. For example, the high-power station near Kolkata on 594 kHz AM is paired with DRM on 603 instead of 604. On September 4th, Ron Howard in California reports a new off-frequency from All India Radio, Delhi Kingsway, at 1350 UT with subcontinental singing, 4870.57. That helps to get a little further away from RRI Wamena, Indonesia, on 4869.88. I suspect we're likely to hear mostly just a heterodyne between them. From eham.net, Mike Terry reminds us of the Hurricane Watch Net frequencies, at least effective in the Atlantic and the Gulf, spurred by Tropical Storm Hermine. They are 14325 until 01 UT and shifting then to 7268, although they may use both frequencies simultaneously. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 1842. Check our website for much more information, worldofradio.com. No thanks again this week for financial support can be rendered, since none has been received since last week. But check her money order and U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Or not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. In the MARE tip sheet, Ken Zicke in Michigan reports hearing Iran's English broadcast to North America, not on shortwave, which was abandoned a half a year ago, but via satellite. It's on Galaxy 19, 97 West, 12.184 gigahertz horizontal. The Voice of Justice, as it's called for that service only, was heard at 0420 to 435 UT, August 27th. Even though they stopped using shortwave to North America at the start of this season, they still mention shortwave frequencies for North America, as well as FM in Tehran. They apparently don't know they're on Galaxy 19. Ron Howard says, when I need a break from regular shortwave listening, I tune in to 4666 USB to listen to the Tokyo Area Control Center. It's from Saitama Prefecture, north of Tokyo. The controller for Tokyo Airport, it's all in English. September 1st at 12:53, several planes in the air, calling into Tokyo radio with wind conditions and the amount of fuel remaining. Just something a little bit different to listen to. Ron Howard says, on September 1st, Seabreeze, or Shokaze, from Japan about abductions by North Korea, made another of its periodic frequency changes for the 13 to 14 UT broadcast. 5985 again, replacing 5965. And English is normally only on Thursdays. Next broadcast for half an hour at 1405 in Japanese remained on the previous frequency, 7325. Although it seemed to be relaying Furusato no Kaze, a similar service, Wind of Hometown. And the other Seabreeze broadcast at 16 to 17 UT, Ivo Ivanov says, also made a frequency change from 5915 to 6090. In a band scan September 6th, just before 0530 UT, I was hearing some very weak intruders on upper sideband, probably in Spanish. But at 0530 sharp, some very weak music started in the AM mode. It sounded like an interval signal, and indeed it was, from ELWA Liberia, which is scheduled to start at that hour. And the signal matched the one archived at intervalsignals.net. I was very pleased to hear it, as ELWA is no easy catch now here, and it dates back to my earliest DXing days in the 60s. Some other reports of this, where it's a bit easier in Europe. Manuel Mendes said the tuning music started at 0527 on September 4th, and Wolfgang Büschel also heard it at 0528. In New Zealand DX Times, Brian Clark says the main highlight of the past week has been reception of V7AB, Radio Marshall Islands, on 1098 kHz, so they must have repaired their transmitter. Noted closing down around 11:30 and opening around 18:15 UT as of September 2nd. They also had strong signals as early as August 23rd indicating inauguration of their new 25 kilowatt Nautel transmitter. The sign-on varies from 1808 to 1815. They were trouncing the NZ station on 1098. The 7AB from Majuro was heard regularly or mixed with 3ZB, mainly with island music. At 0700, announcements in local language till close down with Anthem around 11:30. It relays RNZ News nightly at 1000 and RNZI Pacifical Regional News at 1100. There was an English public service announcement for Children's Health, sponsored by the College of the Marshall Islands, on August 27th. I've been hearing a Mexican station playing mostly romantic music around sunrise here on 820 kHz at least briefly overcoming WBAP in Texas. I've tuned it several times and finally got an idea. It's Canal 820 ABC Radio, which means its call sign is really the grandiose six letters, X-E-A-B-C-A, which is in Mexicali, Baja California. I'm hearing it around 1200 UT. Keith Perrone tells us, part three of the special PCJ Radio International series from the Radio Netherlands archives will present this time some radio dramas from the 1960s to the late 1970s. They are scheduled as follows via WRMI. Sunday, September 18th to Europe at 06208 on 7780, and UT Monday, September 19th to North America at 01203 on 7570. This may explain some of the outages we've noticed from Radio New Zealand International from NZDX times. The RNZI transmitter site at Rangitaiki was affected by a very severe snow dump over the central North Island in early August. The HF transmitter site is just off Matea Road on the Rangitaiki Plains, where the bulk of the snow fell and closed the highway. The transmitter building and pole-mounted transformer are just to the south of the mass. The 33 kilovolt feed to the site was essentially destroyed, with most poles broken at ground level. During the period without mains power, a diesel generator was used to power the shortwave transmitter. Well, since then, there have been some more unexplained outages. The usually reliable 15720 I found missing before and after 02UT, September 5th and 6th, but it was back later in the evening on September 7th. Competing with Ethiopia for the 6090 frequency is Radio Nigeria Kaduna. Torsten Hamann in Germany says it was back September 1st at 1835 UT on 6089.85. At least that's what he thought it was, being off frequency that way. Wolfgang Buschel replies, yes, it's back after off at least a month or so. He measured it on 6089.853, September 2nd at 1710, with the Hausa service from Kaduna. However, it was not on the air between 06 and 07 UT on September 3rd. On 5980, I've found that Radio Chasqui in Peru has reset their automatic cutoff timer to even before 0100 UT. On September 3rd, it went off at midnight 58 and 38 seconds. It's been slipping later, about 6.5 seconds later per 24 hours, so at that rate it would take 12 or 13 days just to reach 0100. Tudor Vidiano in Romania forwards news September 3rd from the WRTH Facebook group from Hiroyuki Okamura in Japan that Radio Russia has reactivated on 5900 kHz. Ron Howard in California heard it signing on at 1000 UT September 4th. This led to a lot of speculation about where it's really coming from, somewhere in the Far East. Well, it turned out to be Vladivostok, since they carry local programming from there between 1210 and 13 UT, and they've also reactivated medium wave 810 kHz, says Seichi Hasegawa. Dmitry Mezin in Kazan forwards first-hand info about this from Sergei in Vladivostok via OpenDX, saying, I visited the branch office September 5th and was told they reactivated the shortwave transmissions on this schedule, 02 to 07 UT, 7245, 7 to 10, 9895, 10 to 15, 5900, and 15 to 21, 7350. These reactivations may be only temporary, something to do with a typhoon hitting the area and upcoming elections. Remember the pirate YHWH, who was on many different frequencies for over a year? Alan Weiner heard from him and replied to him on Worldwide WBCQ. Joshua says he cannot get time on any other shortwave station and wants to be on WBCQ to air a couple of lectures, including Christianity, the Greatest Hoax Ever. And Alan says he'll be glad to put him on. There's an open slot Wednesday nights at 9 Eastern. That's UT Thursdays at 01. What? Is Hal Turner gone again? Yes, he's no longer on the schedule. We don't know if or when YHWH will really appear on BCQ. And congratulations on WBCQ's 18th anniversary, September 9th. John Carver tells us that Area 51 on WBCQ 5130 has been carrying sometimes two episodes of the Church of the Subgenius Hour of Slack, starting at 0200 UT Sundays instead of some other rotating programs. I've been pleased to hear during our noon hour, instead of Brother Scare on the big signal from WRMI 13695, one of their hours of world music, 17 to 18 UT. Here's why we've not been hearing WMLK 9275 since their recent reactivation. From their Facebook via Richard Langley, August 29th brought some serious problems. A capacitor failed in the Ballon transformer. The power had no place to go but back into the circuitry. The final tube section received all the damage inside the set. We were broadcasting at 145 kilowatts. Parts are in order. The good news is this is repairable. WINB, its neighbor in Pennsylvania, has registered some additional airtimes on 9265, says Ivo Ivanov. And we would not be surprised if they're for Brother Scare, although not yet activated. 04 to 06 UT on the usual angle. And the reverse beam at 06 to 11, 62 degrees toward northeast Africa. Since September 3rd, around 02 or 03 UT, I've been hearing gospel hucksters interfering with our near local station KFAQ Tulsa on 1170. This looked like it was coming out of WWVA in Virginia, and I soon got an ID from it. Except it's supposed to be directional protecting Tulsa, obviously not the case at the moment. 50 kilowatts, apparently non-directional, so now's your chance to hear WWVA to the west, although it's really in Ohio if you're counting states. The Beverly Hills station on 1260 KMZT, which of course stood for Mozart with its classical music format on AM, has finally given up. NRC reports it's changed to Nostalgia as unforgettable 1260, and it's already been heard by Brian Clark in New Zealand at 0618 UT. On August 22nd, playing Frank Sinatra and other music from the Great American Songbook. The revised September schedule from Voice of Vietnam I referred to last week was wrong again, although partly right. I have the correct schedule, which I have obtained by actual monitoring, turning on the radio and listening to the VOV frequencies. Here's what they're actually doing via WHRI now on 7315. When they keep the transmitter on the air. English at midnight and 01 UT, Spanish at midnight 30 and 0130, and that's it. No more 12005 via Bufferton, nor 6175. In fact, they've dropped all the relays via European sites. Although we can hear 7315, those are aimed at Latin America, which means their North American service has actually been canceled. And the hour in Vietnamese has also disappeared from shortwave to North America. Ivo Ivanov says all the European relays canceled, which were via Babcock, are 9625 Austria at 17 to 19 UT in English, Vietnamese, and French, 19 to 1930 via Wolferton in Russian, 9890, and 1930 to 2028 via UAE in German on 9430. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field active September 19th with ANK indices of 15 and 4. Major storm levels possible starting September 26th with ANK indices peaking at 40 and 6 on September 30th. Solar flux rising from 90 September 11th to 112 on the 23rd. That's World of Radio 1842. I'm Glenn Hauser.